You are now listening to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show on Giant 90.9 from Indianapolis, the city of motorsports, hosted by Landon Nelson, Olin Pulley, and Trey Hanna. Good morning, race fans, and welcome to the All Gas and No Brakes radio show. We're back, gentlemen. We're back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back after 2 weeks of fall break. I missed you guys. I missed talking to, you guys about racing and, all that's going on in the racing world right now. I miss having a show. But, I'm your host, Landon Nelson, also known as Big Nelly. And I'm joined by my co-host. You guys know him as DJ Trey, the one and only Trey Hanna. What up, Trey?
What up?
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest coming on the show today. Sadly, Olin Pulley, the great Olin Pulley. Yeah, okay. The one and only Olin Pulley will not be here today, or the biggest Purdue fan I have ever met, Garrett Burkle,
say that one again.
Is not on the show today. But, filling in for those two, we have Maxwell Gilley. How are you doing today, Max?
I'm doing good. I'm very proud to be the fifth stringer here on Giant 90.9.
Yes, sir. So, Max, you're a little bit of a racing fan, wouldn't you say yourself?
Yeah, I'm a big racing fan. Of course, I like IndyCar growing up in Indiana, but I've been a big fan of all of them. I like watching NASCAR all the time as well. So
yeah, ladies and gentlemen, he's even repping the Elio Castro Neves four-time race winner T-shirt today for the show. Always got to dress the part, man.
It was a great Indy 500. I was able to be there in person because I've been there since 2016, luckily. And man, it was so cool. And to have him, to see the emotion when he won was just unbelievable.
Yeah, that was the year I didn't go. And I didn't go. I was at the campground. I was like, my dad, we were going to go. And then I was like, I'm just going to stay with my grandma. And then I was like, are you serious? I missed that. I looked on my Instagram. I got some service. So I'm like, I've been there for since I was like the 2014, 2015. And then I didn't go the year he won. I'm like, I watched him finish second to Kumasov. I was like, no, he's not winning. He's not driving. He's not driving, winning. He's not winning. He's driving not in a Penske car. I think he was 30-1 odds to win. I'm like, oh, well.
And then he won it.
So, yeah, anyways, we're going to dive into your NASCAR news. So, on Saturday, October 22nd, NASCAR Camping World Truck Series driver Ty Majeski won the Round of 8 elimination race at Homestead Miami Speedway, winning his second race of the season. Majeski won 2 out of the 3 races in the Round of 8, so he's doing really. He's on a roll right now. Winning at Bristol, his first win. We knew he was going to win. He's eventually in the Truck Series. He's been one of the best trucks out there so far. Out of the Thor Sport bunch, I know you're going against. I think he's a 3-time champion in the Camping World Truck Series, Matt Crafton, and a 1-time champion, Ben Rhodes. You got a lot of pressure there. You're going to get some champions, and could be possibly, Ben Rhodes could win another championship and Matt Crafton could win another championship in the near future. So, champions becoming future champions again, if that makes sense. So, he has a lot to, go against there. And, they also have Christian Eckes, who is a great driver, drove for Kyle Busch Motorsports, and then he got dropped by Kyle Busch Motorsports. That's really sad that Kyle Busch Motorsports would drop these young drivers after one or two seasons that don't, perform to where they're expected. I mean, they're in high school. They're teenagers. They have other stuff going on.
They're, really strict with how they want their racers to race.
Yeah.
Basically.
They show them to this high standard. I mean, balancing school and, trying, with racing and all that, it's a lot. I mean, so it's good to see, Christian Eckes got a second shot because – I've watched him race in the ARCA series. Man, he was fantastic at Vetturini Motorsports. And Majeski, I saw him race Xfinity for Roush, and, I was hoping he'd eventually make it to get a full-time seat in the Camping World Truck Series, and he did, and he's, performed really well, starting off with a pole at the Daytona National Speedway for their Daytona race. So, it's good to see him, succeeding. So, anyways, we're going to check out who advanced to the championship round of the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race. For the round of 4, we have first Ty Majeski, second Zane Smith. Zane Smith is a very, very good driver. Drives for He drives for Front Row Motorsports, has a couple wins this year, won the opener at Daytona, so, you know, he could definitely win the championship, has a shot. You got Ben Rhodes, 2021 champion, so you have two Thor Sport trucks racing in the round of four for the truck series, and then you have Chandler Smith driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports, so Thor Sport has a 50% chance of winning the championship, either with, because they have Ty Majeski and Ben Rhodes, so, I mean, they have a 50% chance is really good, having two trucks in the round of four. What are your thoughts, Max?
They have to be the heavy favorite with the just success Ty Majeski's had. And, oh, by the way, when you have the defending champion, that has to bode well for you as well. It reminds me a bit when GMS Racing was very successful for the last few years.
Yeah.
And I really think that we'd expect to see it from Thor Sport for the truck series. But it should be a fun one. And truck series, underrated. I've really enjoyed it.
I loved when they raced at Eldora. I wish they'll go back. And I love, you know, they have, you know, Knoxville Speedway in Iowa. They raced on, I don't know if they raced on the dirt this year. Yeah, they did. They raced on the dirt this year. And then they raced at Bristol. And, you know, they always have really good races. And then returning to Lucas Oil Raceway, IRP,
yeah,
that did not disappoint whatsoever. Grant Infinger winning that race. I mean, it's just, it was really close racing. It's usually door-to-door action with the truck series, so it's a lot of great action to watch. So NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Racing will return at Phoenix Raceway on November 4th for the championship race.
Hang on, can we first go back to, like, IRP?
Yeah, go for it.
So, fun fact, actually, a little bit about me. I used to have my grandma used to live, like, right next to IRP.
Sweet.
So, I used to be able to hear the races, like, as I'm heading over to her house. And it was so cool just hearing all those trucks going around. And it was nice.
Now, I hope that, you know, the Xfinity Series heads back.
I hope they do, too.
Okay.
I still don't think they're going to head back. I think it's just too small of a track for them. But
yeah.
That's another argument for another show. We got a busy show.
Yeah, we got a busy show today. We're going to keep it rolling, ladies and gentlemen. On Saturday, October 22nd, NASCAR Xfinity Series driver, we've heard this name quite a bit this year, Noah Gregson won at Homestead Miami Speedway, punching his ticket into the championship round of the NASCAR Xfinity Series playoffs. I'm not shocked by this at all. I Noah Gregson's had a fantastic year. He's won 8 races this season in Xfinity. I was, you know, expecting him to make the championship round, whether winning or not, but he won, so he punched his ticket. So Junior Motorsports will have two drivers racing in the championship round at Phoenix Raceway on November 5th, Josh Berry and now Noah Gregson. Josh Berry locked himself in by winning at Las Vegas Motor Speedway the weekend before. So Junior Motorsports has a 50% chance of winning the championship.
It's going to be cool.
Yeah, it's going to be
them win.
Yeah, it'd be awesome to see. I like to see Barry win. He's a great driver.
Yeah.
Outlaws guy, late model guy. And, I mean, I'd like to see Noah Gregson win. He's worked so hard this year, winning 8 races. I mean, I don't get it with the whole playoff system with, you know, how are you going to win 8 or 9 races and not win the championship? It just blows my mind. We're going to, you know, Kevin Harvick in 2020 in the Cup Series. It's like you have one bad race and, you know, that's in one of these rounds and you're out of the championship. So you're going to be in a must-win situation before too long. So that's how I feel about that. And, you know, so yeah, that's what I feel about that. So we have Noah Gregson, Josh Berry, Ty Gibbs, and AJ Allmendinger that are in the round of four at the moment. They're in the round of four. Drivers looking in, Justin Allgaier, Austin Hill, Sam Mayer, Brandon Jones. So, Max, what are your thoughts? Do you think that, you know, do you think that the top four that are in right now are going to make it into the championship four? Do you think like Allgaier, Hill, or Mayer, Brandon Jones can, you know, win their way in at next race?
If we look at the bottom four, Allgaier really has the best chance of making it to the final four. He's been there multiple times, but realistically, just based on what I've seen all season long, I think that the top four won't really change, but you know, as we get towards the end of this series, there's going to be people who make desperate attempts to make
yeah.
the playoffs.
Agreed.
So there's going to be someone who gets involved in a major collision, and it'll probably end up eliminating one of the favorites.
Well, they're heading back to Martinsville. And you know what happened in the spring race? Ty Gibbs and Sam Mayer, they got into it and fought. And you know who won that race? Brandon Jones. He stole that race after Mayer made a desperate slide job. Is it either Mayer or Gibbs made a desperate slide job into 3 and 4, and here comes Brandon Jones to take the win at Martinsville. So also Brandon Jones heading to Junior Motorsports next season. So good for him. I'm happy for him. He's gonna be racing for one of the Hall of Famer in NASCAR, Dale Jr. So
and one of the best teams truly in the Xfinity series. And I know he was doing well with not that great equipment. So if he can do well with not so stellar equipment, imagine what he can do with the top of the line equipment.
Yeah, Joe Gibbs Racing. I mean, in the Xfinities, they're contending. They contend for races and wins. He was racing for RCR for a while, which wasn't as great equipment before he joined Joe Gibbs Racing. So, I mean, he can make do with what he has and do really well, and you know, get that car to the best possible position. He's just had a lot of bad luck this year. I mean, it seems like every year he has bad luck. So, moving on, the NASCAR Xfinity Series will return to racing on Saturday, October 29th for the elimination race of the round of 8 at 3 p.m. from Martinsville Speedway. So now we're going to dive into your NASCAR Cup Series news. On Sunday, October 23rd, Kyle Larson won at Homestead Miami Speedway in a dominating fashion, leading 199 laps out of 267. Wow, that is... That's incredible. That is 68 laps he didn't lead. That's insane. And winning both stages. So, and it was his third win of the season. So, I'm not surprised by Kyle Larson. He does really well at Homestead. It was his first win at Homestead, which surprises me because he runs really good there every year and runs that wall, runs all the way up against the wall, which is crazy. And you know, I don't know, if I was a race car driver, I would love to do that, run right up against it and be so close. I mean, it's the fastest way. I always thought the bottom line is the fastest way around the track, and I like to stay low, but at Homestead it's right up against that wall because you're going to get such a huge run coming down the back straightaway, the front stretch, running that wall, and you're going to be able to pass people going into 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 on the bottom. So we're going to see how the race at Homestead Miami affected the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs. You have Joey Logano, who's already advanced. He won at Las Vegas 2 weekends before. You have second Ross Chastain, who's been doing really well. 2 second-place finishes. That is really consistent from Trackhouse Racing. A lot of people were doubting Trackhouse this year, and they've surprised a lot of people. I really feel like Chastain has a shot at the championship four. He's been super consistent this year. So that's what I think. Max, what do you have?
Biggest thing though is Ross Chastain makes a lot of people mad, and what can happen when you're at Martinsville?
Oh yeah,
with tempers flaring, there's a great chance he ends up being pinched into the wall by someone who's out of the playoffs already.
I think Hamlin, if Hamlin's in desperate times call for desperate measures, he's going to use that bumper and move him and put him in the wall. I mean, Hamlin's really good at Martinsville as well. He has a couple wins there.
Truex is one of the best as well.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about Homestead. He got spun on pit lane, and he said the sun glare, he didn't see the,
it was rough.
Pit road. I was like, Truex, you're going to win. He got hit by Kyle Larson coming down pit road. Do you think that is Kyle Larson's fault for him? For Truex's spin, what do you guys think on that?
Not at all. I think it's
it was Truex's fault.
Larson's. Yeah, I think whoever initiated him going into the spin, I think that should be.
Well, I think it's just a freak accident.
I just think it's an accident. I mean, Truex said he didn't see, they didn't really see his pit wall, but I mean, Larson has to go the speed limit. I mean, he can't really go any faster, and if he just stops right in front of him, he's gonna get turned. I mean, that's
the biggest thing I need to see, and I haven't seen it yet, is if we can get an in-cab shot, if we can see what was seen. And if we see a lot of sun there and we can't see it through the footage, then that will be, I guess, the answer to that question for the in-cab footage. But I just think it's a freak accident, and it's bound to happen, unfortunately, affect someone.
Third's Chase Elliott. Fourth, William Byron. Now, here are the drivers that are looking into the round of four. You have fifth, Denny Hamlin. Sixth, Ryan Blaney. Seventh, Christopher Bell. And eighth, Chase Briscoe. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to say that Christopher Bell and Chase Briscoe are in a must-win situation to make the round of four. I'm pulling for the Indiana kid. He's from Mitchell, Indiana. I met Chase Briscoe. He's a fantastic person, fantastic human being, great driver, fantastic driver, driving for, you know, Stewart Haas Racing. I'd love to see the 14 in the round of four. And, you know, he pulls up the upset, wins at Martinsville, and wins the championship. That would be a story for the ages. And I'm pulling for him. I mean, he's a hometown kid. Max, what do you think on that?
Well, if he could make the championship four and end up somehow winning the playoffs, it would make Tony Stewart very happy.
Oh, yeah.
After his disdain with NASCAR as of the last few weeks. Again, I like Chase Briscoe. He's a great kid, dominated the Xfinity Series towards the end. He knows how to be competitive in a playoff scenario. I mean,
yeah,
he's proven everyone wrong. I was a bit worried after, and I know it's his rookie year, but
the equipment wasn't great either. Well, that was Stewart Haas's, like,
just really Stewart Haas as a whole was awful last year, and I know they've improved slightly this year. They're still not perfect.
No, far
from any means.
I mean, they've
perfect.
Won two races with Kevin Harvick, so I mean that's a pot the three.
Yeah,
if you want to count Chase Briscoe, yeah.
It's also Kevin Harvick.
Yeah, it is Kevin Harvick too.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's not really hard to, speaking from like Kevin Harvick's standpoint, it's not really hard to win a race when you're Kevin Harvick.
It took him a while though, if you want to count the horrible year they had 2021?
Yeah.
2021 was, you know, was one of the worst years in Stewart Haas Racing. And, you know, it took him a while to win and get used to this new, you know, next-gen car. I think it took a lot of people to get used to this. And he had a couple shots, and things just didn't fall his way. And then, you know, turns up at Michigan. I thought, you know, he's going to win at Michigan. I didn't think he was going to go back-to-back at Richmond, but he proved me wrong, went back-to-back at Richmond. So I was very happy to see. Do you think William Byron is going to make the championship four?
Ew, that is a tough one. I've been
yes.
wrong constantly about William Byron multiple times. I've been thinking he's going to be eliminated, and he stayed in. I'm still going to pick against him. I really think that this is more likely than the Xfinity Series to have, like, a huge shift in the round of eight standings to get that championship four.
Yeah,
I don't,
agreed.
It will not look like this by the time we end up going to the championship race in Phoenix.
It's this next-gen car, man. It's unpredictable. Tire issues. You'll have your tire issues. I'm going to talk about the tires. There have been a lot of blown tires and tire failures this year. It's like, you know, we're going to talk about Tyler Reddick at Fontana this year. He dominated that race.
Yeah, he did.
He could have had, my opinion, I think he could have had four wins this year. Bristol Dirt and Fontana. No, five wins. Because he's won at Texas, Road America, and the Indy GP. So he could have had five wins if you're going to count Fontana and the Bristol Dirt. Fontana, I think he won both stages. Both stages, I'm pretty sure. I know he won a stage. Blows a tire.
Yeah.
And his race-winning car done. Like, he could have won that race. So there's a lot of unpredictability. So we're going to talk about the NASCAR Cup Series will return to racing on Sunday, October 30th at 2 p.m. from Martinsville Speedway, the elimination race of the round of eight. We have a lot of NASCAR news, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have to dive right in. We have till 9:15, so we're going to have to snappy. So here's we got some NASCAR news yesterday. Yesterday, NASCAR Xfinity Series crew chief of Noah Gregson, Luke Lambert, was hired by Petty GMS Racing to be crew chief of Noah Gregson in the 42 car. So, you know, Max, what are your thoughts on that? Luke Lambert coming over to Petty GMS.
It is so smart to keep the two together. You need to have that good chemistry when it comes to the next level. I'm excited to see it. Gregson is very talented, but this is going to be the issue of going from the top-tier equipment to Petty, who I know they've improved
a little bit, man.
The big thing
but
is that was the 43 car that has been doing good. The 42 car now, I don't know if that's just Ty Gibbs that was struggling.
Ty Dillon, excuse me.
You're good, buddy. It's fine. It's early, doesn't matter. But the big thing was that 42 car's not looked good at all this year.
No.
And I don't know if it's just a overhaul of the crew that's needed. I don't know if it was just the driver. We'll be able to see next year, but I don't expect to see Noah Gregson just immediately
He's gonna start winning, getting top fives. Or I don't see that either. But I feel like, you know, having Eric Jones, who's a three-time race winner. He very consistent. He can take equipment that is that's not as good and put it in places where it shouldn't be. And he's really good at that. Top tens, this next-gen car has been unpredictable. But, those races that things have gone wrong for other teams, he has capitalized and, done extremely well. And, Richard Petty's got their guy, man. Petty GMS and just in general, they've got their guy. And, Joe Gibbs letting him go was one of the, my opinion. I like Christopher Bell, but I still think that Eric Jones is better, in my opinion. One of the worst decisions he's made in his, Joe Gibbs Racing's made in their entire history. What do you feel on that?
I can understand your feelings there, but the big thing was you want to always keep the younger guy. You always want to try and get the next generation. And obviously, as we've seen, with Toyota, it seems like, at least in the lower levels, they're starting to lose a lot of their very talented guys.
Haley Deegan.
Yeah.
Went from racing for Vicerini to the Ford development. And Christian Eckes, and, you're going to talk about Todd Gillen is racing in Cup now and racing for Ford. It seems like Ford development has done extremely well, with the Toyota, Toyota dropping from these younger drivers into the development program and putting them in for performance. It seemed like they've, lit it up. So it seems like that's what they've done.
Yeah.
So road course ringer and colleague racing driver AJ Amanir, thank you so much, Racing World, for blessing me with this. We'll return to full-time Cup Series racing in 2023, driving the 16 for colleague racing. Guys, what are your thoughts on this?
I think he's going to be much more successful in this second round.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen him even be able to. Last year, he was able to win on the road course at Indy. I know it didn't count towards the playoffs because he wasn't full-time, but he's been able to show that with colleague racing, they're very talented. And though they haven't been in victory lane yet, don't be surprised if we see him being successful. I'm not going to be like, oh, he's going to be like he was in the Xfinity Series where he ended up being in the top four. I'm not picking that. Not even picking him to make possibly the 16, but I think he's going to still do so very successful.
Yeah, especially on the road courses. He's won the most road course races in NASCAR history, like 8 or 9 races. I think he's won more since then. Yeah, I believe it's 8 or 9 he's won.
Like he and Chase Elliott for a while were the two best at road courses.
And I think, definitely Xfinity's won like 8 or 9 races. He's done fantastic. I think he's won. I think they've won. Colleague Racing in general has dominated the Charlotte Roval for the past 3 or 4 years with AJ Amanir, and it's like 3 in a row, 4 in a row. Fantastic at road courses. He also seemed extremely competitive at Homestead this weekend, finishing 3rd in a colleague racing car, which no one expected that to happen. Literally no one. Colleague racing this season in the Cup Series has been very hit or miss, and they showed some fantastic speed. The fire off Dale Jutner on the NBC Sports was talking about, oh, yeah, that fire off of that 16, I'm so impressed. I thought he could have finished 2nd. He finished top 5, probably the, best run that colleague racing has had this year, and he looked extremely competitive. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. He has looked very competitive. Like I said, I'm just so excited to see him in the Cup Series, and it'll be interesting to see, because I enjoyed so much when we had Cindric and Allmendinger when they were battling a couple of years ago in the Xfinity Series, and now we have a chance to see that in the Cup Series. It won't be, I think, for as many wins, but anytime those two face off against each other, it's always entertaining.
I know we barely have a lot of time. I'm trying to get through this all, but there's a lot of news, and I want to hear everyone's input. So NASCAR Truck Series driver Chandler Smith will be moving up to the NASCAR Xfinity Series in 2023, replacing AJ Allmendinger at Colleague Racing, driving the 16. Chandler Smith has 5 wins in the Truck Series, 31 top tens, driving for Kyle Busch Motorsports.
Another Toyota kid leaving.
Yes, agreed. Driving for, now he's part of Chevy, driving for Colleague. If I was Chandler Smith, I would have took a total advantage of that. You're driving in championship equipment with Colleague, especially in that 16 car, And, you know, I know we haven't seen a lot of, I mean, Landon Castle had an up and down year. Daniel Hemric hasn't had the year he's wanted with colleague, but they've been, you know, those two cars have been hit or miss this year. But that 16 car has been wicked fast. And, I mean, it's AJ Allmendinger. I mean, he's racing on road courses and winning them, but he's been very consistent this year. So driving in fantastic equipment. I think you'll have a shot at the championship in the Xfinity Series next year.
I would think so. The only thing it could be is just a lack of experience, maybe year one. But if they're going to keep him for a couple of years to get him developed, because I don't want to see it be like a one-year stop and then try and get up to the Cup Series.
Yeah.
I've never been a proponent of to be rushed up too early.
Noah Gregson, look at him. It took two or three years for him to – it was two to three.
I know he was with Beard Motorsports in 62 for a couple super speedways, specifically Talladega a lot. But, no, to get him to see him full-time, it's obviously been clear that you need to grind your teeth in Xfinity Series, and then you'll be able to make it to the
Cup
Series.
He's had over 2 years in Xfinity. I believe it's like fourth year in Xfinity, and it's took him a while, I mean, to develop and get better. And this year, the work is starting to, you know, pay off. You know, it. You know that saying where it's like, you know, patience, you know, that, you know, get it. I mean, it's not a saying, but, you know, it takes longer than others. That's a saying. It takes longer than others to, you know, get better at things. And
especially with,
Noah Gregson.
Especially with him going to, like, you know.
Yeah.
Team.
Yeah. To change teams with.
Driving now. He's going to be driving the Cup Series next year.
But he'll have to relearn all the controls because it'll be.
Different car.
Different. And it'll be a different team. So he'll have to rebond with this team.
Yeah.
And he'll also have to be able to work fast, diligent, and still manage to get some points on the board.
Yeah, agreed. So it took him 3 to 4 years to get used to Xfinity. You know, now he's at the peak of his Xfinity career, and fantastic opportunity at Petty GMS. So takes time and patience to develop. So some sad news came at Las Vegas Motor Speedway with 44-year-old Kurt Busch. And the last current NASCAR Cup Series driver to race with Dale Earnhardt Sr. is going to retire from full-time racing at the end of this year. I was very sad to hear this. I mean, he has 23 years of NASCAR Cup Series experience.
He was a dang good driver,
too. Yeah, he was really good. He made teams a lot better, brought that experience. He was the only driver to win with every current manufacturer in the NASCAR Cup Series. Ford, Chevy, and Toyota, because he won 23-11 at Kansas. He won a couple races with Stuart Haas, and then he won a couple races driving for Tony Stewart and a Chevrolet. So, and I think he drove a Chevrolet. But I don't think he won with Furniture Row, but you get the point. So he makes teams better, and it's just really sad to see him. You know, I've been a Kurt Busch fan.
Yeah, it's sad to see him leave because of how good of a driver he was and how good of a person he was. With all this stuff he's done for, like, the
teams and
teams, people even. Like, he's helped so many people out. It's just unreal.
So we're gonna, you know, move on here. So Tyler Reddick will be racing for 2311 Racing next season in the number 45 car after Kurt Busch retiring and RCR buying out his contract. I believe he's going to be a future champion in the NASCAR Cup Series. He's won three races this season. He should have, in my opinion, I think he should have five. But
he has the potential.
He has the potential to be a future champion. Fantastic driver. I think 2311 Racing are bringing in a championship pedigree guy, and I'm over the moon. I might actually buy my first, like, Toyota gear because he's going there.
I can understand that. I mean, it's clear that the 45 car is the more successful car than the 23 car, just based on the results alone this year. But I'm excited to see it. He's just going to be really, really talented in it. And don't be surprised when we see him get wins early on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't think anyone is anymore.
No.
And
road courses.
No offense to RCR, but it may be better equipment at 23-11. Yeah,
I'm sad that he's leaving Richard Childress. I'm a diehard Dale Earnhardt Sr. fan. I loved him being there, but they're also bringing in a two-time champion. He's won 80 something. He's won. It was like 80-something races in Xfinity or something insane.
He dominated for two straight years.
Yeah. He dominated in Xfinity. Ton of, you know, wins in the Truck Series. Well, ton of wins in general in the Cup Series. Yeah. You're bringing in Kyle Busch, leaving Joe Gibbs Racing to race for Richard Childress. You're bringing in a championship guy, man. I'm telling you, I'm so happy that Richard Childress, you know, got another, you know, they got another great driver, you know, letting go of Tyler Reddick. I feel like, you know, Kyle Busch is going to start winning. I mean, maybe not right away, but he's going to, you know, pick it up and start winning right away. And, you know, his truck team changing manufacturers. Toyota Racing Development is gone. TRD is gone. He's not going to be having Toyotas to manufacture the truck series for his truck team no more. Chevrolet, what are your thoughts on all this?
It will be interesting to see because it's been clear that Kyle Busch Motorsports has been kind of the major manufacturer team. I know Thor Sports been doing well as well.
Yeah.
But Kyle Busch really seems like they have been the guys, and they have had some of the best young guys come out of the truck series. I don't know how much it's going to change with Chevy. There may be some time that it takes to adjust just because you are going from a new manufacturer. So I'm not going to say, oh, we're going to blow up Kyle Busch Motorsports. They're never going to win again. No, I'm not saying that.
No.
But I don't know exactly how quickly they're going to be able next year to start out with success. I think towards the end of the season,
yeah, agreed,
they'll be back to their success. But starting out, I don't expect them to start out so hot.
So there was some more NASCAR racing news yesterday addressing GMS Racing. Daniel Dye will be racing in the Camping World Truck Series. The 43 is back, ladies and gentlemen, in the Truck Series. I am so pumped about it. Like, I'm pulling for this kid. I just love seeing the 43 on track in the Truck Series. He's won a race in the ARCA Series this year. They got a great young driver, you know, racing for GMS Racing. Bring in another guy, man. Chevy. Max, what are your thoughts, buddy?
I've been really excited to see how GMS Racing has been with their partnership with Richard Petty. I think it's been a great thing. You're getting to see these young guys. I think Daniel Dye is a very talented kid. I'm excited to see what he can do in the Truck Series, and I'm glad that he's doing it the right way. He isn't being immediately rushed up to the Truck Series, Xfinity Series. He starts out in the ARCA Series and then goes up the ladder, so I'm really appreciative of that, but it'll be interesting to see what Daniel Dye can do in the Truck Series.
Especially with, like, his experience, he has potential.
Yeah.
He has potential to not be, like, the neck. I'm throwing this out there. He doesn't have potential to be the next pro racer for the Truck Series, but he has potential for, like, he has some potential for greatness.
Yep.
I'm looking at some of his ARCA Series results. He got third in Daytona, second in Phoenix, third in Kansas, sixth in Charlotte. I mean, he's shown that in some of these major NASCAR tracks, it really feels like those are some of the best results he's had. Looking at some of the other smaller tracks, he struggled on short tracks, but in the big super speedways and other 1.5 mile
tracks,
intermediates, yeah, he's been doing well. So I'm excited to see what he can do in the Truck Series, where it's more of those tracks than Toledo.
Yeah. This is your last bit of NASCAR news here. Bubba Wallace was suspended for a race after his actions at Las Vegas International Speedway, intentionally wrecking Kyle Larson and charging at him after the crash. This was the first time a NASCAR Cup Series driver has been suspended since Matt Kenseth in 2015, when he wrecked Joey Logano on purpose at Martinsville Speedway. Max, what are your thoughts on his suspension? Do you think it was reasonable, not reasonable?
I'm 100% for it being only one race. I know there are some people, and some of them just didn't like Bubba, so they wanted him to be out for the rest of the year. But I think one race is the better one. NASCAR has been somewhat inconsistent when giving penalties of these magnitude. I mean, it hasn't happened since Kenseth, and we've had guys who have major hits like that before. So I really think this was the right thing to do. It wouldn't have been smart to kick him out for the rest of the year, because that's been unprecedented. We've never had anyone kicked out for more than one race. It's always been just the one race suspension.
Yeah, 23-11 Racing is also, you know, addressing this situation. They've, you know, given, you know, Bubba Wallace guidelines.
He has to be
quote
careful.
Unquote, be careful. Yeah, yeah, stuff like that. 23-11 have addressed it.
They also have put, like, so many since this, like, literally, I asked one of my friends who doesn't even know about racing.
He even knew about it.
And
it's huge.
It's like huge, like not like
it was
national
it's mainstream.
News. It's like mainstream.
It's mainstream.
News.
I mean, this entire NASCAR postseason
has been
the worst for NASCAR PR. They've had so many PR disasters during this entire process with some of the guys. Now the whole Kurt Busch situation, getting the concussion, being out, Alex Bowman,
yeah,
people have been worried about the cars not being safe, the
tires
have
issues.
NASCAR is going to be so grateful that this is going to be done soon, because there's been no positive at
no,
all
in
the past
not in the
few
playoffs
months.
No, not
especially with like the negativity that comes with
these new cars.
And with how the most teams don't know how to use those cars to their max potential.
Yeah, because they're worried that, you know, because these cars are not, you don't build them in your shops no more. It's not like that. They come, okay, I'm going to make an Amazon reference. Okay, you get an Amazon package at your front door. It's how it is now. It's right there. That's your car. That's your car, and it's already made. And you only have so much equipment to use. Because you'll get in trouble. You'll have penalties. And it's very hard to maximize it because, you know, they only get so many. It's weird how these charter system works and all that. So it's really weird for these teams to maximize the most out of these cars. I don't get it. I mean, Ben Bayshore being suspended for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks and at the beginning of next year for an uncontrolled tire, I get that, you know, it's not on him. He can't, you know, I mean, I get it is he's the crew chief and he's a you know pit crew guys and everything like that, and he's managing them, but he can't really control an uncontrolled tire. And you know, Bubba Wallace, you know, wrecking Kyle Larson intentionally at 170 miles an hour, and he had a shot to win. Larson made a bad move. I mean, it's a racing. He went three wide, you know, he had a shot to win, tried to make the race winning move there, to take the lead. I just don't get it with the crew chief suspension at all. It's just really weird how this whole process is when, you know, that happened with Bubba Wallace. I mean, I get the one race suspension is, I think it's reasonable, but I just don't get Ben Bayshore being suspended for 3 to 4 weeks. Remember, crew chief of Kyle Busch and the number 18, Eminem's Camry. All right, we're going to have to run through this IndyCar news. Max, you guys want to take it away on the IndyCar news? Just hit it.
All right, so first of all, I was thinking Formula 1.
He's Formula 1. You got the IndyCar.
Colton Herta will be with Gainbridge till 2027. He may also have the possibility still of doing F1. TK, Tony Kanaan, will be joined Arrow with McLaren SP, only for the Indy 500. Yep. Interesting thing. 2 through 5, all for Arrow McLaren. Those are based on the finish of the Indy 500, of course. So Rossi, Pato, TK, and Felix, all top five finishers, all with Arrow McLaren next year. Should be a fun one.
Trey, hit your Formula 1 news.
All right, so currently the poll for Formula 1 looks like...
Sorry, buddy. I'm sorry. Let me help you here.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to clean this up. Oh, buddy, that's the race. That's from Bahrain, bub.
You're good.
You got to hit it.
Charles Leclerc wins the poll. He had to retire after one lap due to contact.
That was
with
Carlos
George
Sainz.
Russell in the first corner.
That was Carlos Sainz. Carlos Sainz was on pole for USA.
Audi chose...
ESPN lied to me. It's fine. I misread that. Anyway, it doesn't matter about pole because Max Verstappen wins. Win number 13 on the year gets Constructor Cup.
Yeah, for Red Bull does, and he even had a slow pit stop. Lewis takes the lead, and that Red Bull car is so dang fast. It caught up to Lewis in a couple laps and absolutely blast by him.
Yeah.
He tied the most wins in a regular season with... In a season in general, not regular season. Michael Schumacher and Sebastian Vettel for the most wins in a season, Max Verstappen. Now he's three drivers, 13 wins is absolutely insane. Trey, hit it off, buddy.
So Sauber is joining Audi chose Sauber to join their F1 team. So hopefully there's some really good potential with coming to like with their car and their team, their technology is really advanced in the F1 field.
All right, we're going to have to hit this really quick.
Got it.
Okay. Pierre Gasly will not be racing for AlphaTauri next season. He's going to be bought out by Red Bull's going to buy out his contract. He races for the sister team of Red Bull, AlphaTauri, like I just said. Yep. Joining Alpine, I knew this was going to happen. I had imagined this in my head, and I was like, you know what? Pierre Gasly is going to race for Alpine sometime. He's from France. Alpine, their team is based in France. They are a French team. They already have a French driver, Esteban Ocon, race winner. It only makes sense to pair the two. France is like, let's go win. We have two French drivers racing in Alpine. I'll get to you, Trey, in a minute. Let me just run this really quick.
It's Alpine news.
Yeah, all right. So this is it's just crazy. I knew this was gonna happen. Pierre Gasly won at Monza. He has two other podiums.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So Trey, what do you got?
All right, so Formula 2 racer Jack Doohan is coming to FP1 in Mexico City and Abu Dhabi to drive for Alpine.
So you've been first practice of the day in Mexico. Max, what do you got for us more on Formula 1?
Finally, American Logan Sargeant will race for Williams. He needs to get his super license still, but as long as he finishes above sixth place and as long as he can get 100 kilometers in Mexico City and Abu Dhabi in practice, he will get his super license and race for Williams.
Woo! Let's go, guys. And that was awesome.
One more thing. Red Bull backed Liam Lawson to make another FP1 appearance at AlphaTauri at Mexico Grand Prix.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the time we have today on All Gas and No Brakes. I hope everyone at Indianapolis has a fantastic day. All the race fans listening today, I hope everyone had a great day. Remember, this is WBDG 90.9, your station for variety. I'm Landon Nelson. Big Nelly out!